What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
It's funny because our names are not Waddle and Sylvie.
Nope.
No, they'll be back tomorrow along with everybody else. Cap and Jay Hood, Carmen and Yurko, Waddle and Sylvie, Black and Abdallah. But it's Fred and Xander in for Waddle and Sylvie today until 6. We'll talk a little bit about the NBA. We'll talk a little about the Bulls' future. We'll get more into the Sox and Cubs. And I got something for you at 4:30. Something that I have a thought on. And I would think that a lot of men out there would have thoughts on it. And maybe some women, too. I'll just leave it at that.
You're right about that.
There may actually, there'll be a different reason the women might have a thought on it. So I'll explain.
Oh, right.
Yeah, sure. I'll explain that when we get to it around 4:30-ish. But baseball's still trying. I'm reading, looking at Jesse Rogers' column today, and near the bottom of the first page of the five-page article I have, it says, the group's goal is to attract a new generation of fans by turning the current game into a more enjoyable and aesthetically pleasing experience. I just don't think if you don't like baseball, it doesn't matter what they do. But I know baseball can't think that way.
No, they can't.
I know.
That's a defeatist attitude.
Which is what I'm good at.
I know you're excellent.
As we bring Jesse Rogers in on the Corona Hotline. Jesse, what's going on?
Hey, Jesse.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. Good to talk to you.
So when Theo picks up the phone and he finds out it's you, did you do this over the phone?
Yes, we did. Okay. He won't get near me.
I was going to say, he's learned
his lesson.
Damn, Jesse, I got to talk to you again. But, you know, he's trying to fix what he screwed up, right?
Yeah, in a sense. He knows he was at the forefront of some of this stuff. You know, the bottom line is, it's funny how it all just boils down to one thing, and it's just the amount of strikeouts. I document in the story how much it's increased, and I was watching the Royals and Yankees today, and it's just like, it was only like 18 strikeouts, but that's a lot between the teams. I think the Royals were 10 or 11. I mean, yesterday, which game was it? The San Francisco Angels game. The bottom two guys in the Giants order at one point were 0 for 10 with 9 Ks. I'm not sure I've ever seen that with back-to-back hitters. And this is in the AL Park, so it wasn't the pitcher.
Right.
This is at the Angels. So 0 for 10 with 9 Ks. So what Theo said to me, to boil it down, is like the game just doesn't work the way maybe we'd all want it at a strikeout rate of 25%. If it's down near 20%, it works. So to get from 25 to 20, though, there's a lot of ideas being thrown at the wall, a lot of thoughts on that. But that's the goal, sort of bring that number down, increase the contact, which increases the doubles and the triples, which are at its lowest rate. All these things are tied together. It starts with eliminating strikeouts, or at least bringing that down a little bit.
And with that said, Jesse, in the article, and this is a quote from Theo, this is a game designed to be played by 9 men, not 2.
It's my favorite quote.
It is. That's the one that jumped out at me, too.
Yeah, and he didn't come up with that. He was quoting somebody else. But what he was quoting somebody else said at a different time, when strikeouts were on the rise. I think he said when they were perfecting the overhand delivery.
Right.
Back in 1900, all of a sudden strikeouts rose, and a sports writer said that. There's a game designed to be played by 9 men, not 2. And I'm against the shift, so I would even say designed to be played by 9 men, not 3, meaning the first baseman, the second baseman, whoever else you bring over there. So I'm all for some of these changes. The big change, which could solve a lot, I write a lot about, is limiting the size of your pitching staff, everybody's pitching staff, to like 11 men. The trickle-down effect could solve a lot of problems. You have to read about it. If you read the article to get into it. It would create more action because less pitchers means using them more, which means they're tired. They can't max out every night. There'd be more action. And one thing Theo brought up that maybe we don't think about is the late-inning comeback. Those are rare, and that's kind of like fun, right? Your team gets it late. It's rare because everybody out of that pen is rested and throwing 98. when you have a 14-man pitching staff. So that's just one big idea. There's a lot of little ones as well.
Jess, if I'm not mistaken, when I first started watching baseball, and it was right after Abner Doubleday, but they had a 25-man roster, and usually it was 14 position players, 11 pitchers. So you would have your four starters back in the day and your seven relievers. And we all know how it's changed. Now you have five starters, and, okay, if you had only six relievers, that could be tough. And but like the article says, and everybody, I implore everybody to read the article. It's a great article, not only because Jesse wrote it, but because
a lot of great details.
It brings up a lot of great things. And you know, if this, you'll have to use your starters longer. You know, and I bring up Justin Verlander a lot because Verlander was a guy that would go deep in games because he would come out in the first couple innings, he wouldn't throw his 100 miles an hour, he wouldn't throw 99 miles an hour, and I think we're seeing a little bit of that with Carlos Rodon this year.
Yeah,
because
Rodon's
bringing it in the ninth inning of his no hitter, he's throwing 98, and you know, and it's nice because
very old school.
Well, you always hear that there's throwers and there's pitchers. And now the throwers are learning to pitch, and they're throwing hard, and they're throwing hard early. And, you know, we can even go back to Game 7 of the World Series in 2016, where everybody and their mother, except for Joe Maddon, thought that Kyle Hendricks should have stayed in. But because of analytics and because he's going to run the lineup for the third time, you know, that they say now's the time to get him out. But it'd be great to see pitchers go six, seven innings instead of your 4 2/3, maybe 5 1/3, and go from there. So that would obviously help, but that's going to take, you would think that's going to take a while to change also, wouldn't you?
Yes, absolutely. If they do limit the size of pitching staffs, which means the starters will go longer, it's going to be over time. You'd go, I think next year will definitely be 13 max. Right now it's like 14. And then maybe they phase into 12 or even 11. I think 11 solves a lot of the problems. The union has to be on board. And remember, that doesn't change the between-the-line strategy, limiting the size of the pitching staff. Like, in-game, the strategies can be the same, but does, you know, define what your roster is going to look like. And the other thing Theo talks about, if you do only have 11 pitchers, as you were saying, Fred, now the specialists return to the position players instead of the relievers. So now we have a pinch runner.
Right.
Now we have a great pinch hitter or two, and that plays into the strategy of the game, right? Okay, if he's going to pinch run that guy, maybe I'm going to bring in this reliever, whatever. Maybe I'll bring in a lefty reliever to keep that guy close to first. You know, all these things return to the game. So limiting the size of the pitching staff might be the panacea. But I'm not sure if the union's going to go for that because obviously pitchers won't be happy if three jobs on every team is eliminated.
Yeah, you know, and you took my question, the issue of the union. It seems like that is going to be an issue.
You would think so. Now, again, the benefit is on the other side. These position players that don't have a job right now, Billy Hamilton's barely in the league. If they had 14 position players, Billy Hamilton would have a job for 5-10 more years, right? So now he's had a good year with the Sox, but you know what I'm getting at. So yes, this is a debate even within the union they would have to have. I'm not sure if they're ready to say 11. That would take time, but they might be ready to say definitely 13. They were supposed to implement that last year, but because of COVID, they didn't. So maybe they go down to 12 at some point. That's not so drastic.
You know, there's another thing in here, which I circled it because it says the league might determine the high strike zone. I'm talking about maybe changing the strike zone because of the automated balls and strikes and everything like that. It says the league might determine the high strike is bad for contact, but give pitcher the benefit of the doubt on corners. It could lower and widen the zone. Now, I understand lowering the zone, but widening the zone wider than the plate.
That makes no sense.
Yeah, that makes it kind of difficult because basically you're saying, you know, even if it doesn't cross the plate, it could be considered a strike.
Yeah, I kind of just threw that in as an example.
Okay.
Maybe you widen the plate, right? I mean, if you can't just widen the zone. If it's going to be automatic anyway, meaning automatic balls and strikes, maybe you should widen the plate. My point was, I don't think people realize going to robot umps wasn't just about making sure that they got the call right. It's that they can make the zone whatever they want, since they can just fix the technology to say this. And then, of course, you tell the teams. And I was just giving an example of, okay, maybe they give an inch for the hitter, and then you give an inch for the pitcher. And that doesn't have to be the way I said it. But the point is they can do it however they want to maximize contact. And maybe the contact's too much, and they change the zone again. You can do it a little bit easier when you go to robot umps. So it's an ancillary sort of thing, but it's also an important point. get the calls right, but also let's make the zone whatever we want.
One of your guys from ESPN, Schoenfeld, he talked about the Cubs and White Sox and talked about one player all 30 MLB teams should trade for or away. And he says he's got the Cubs acquiring Michael Pineda, saying Hendricks and Zach Davies starting to pitch better. Jake Arrieta has allowed 22 runs and 6 home runs his past 18 and two-thirds. Everyone's going to ask for Craig Kimbrell in a deal. What do you think the Cubs are going to do? I know we still have 4 weeks now, or four and a half, or whatever.
I don't think he's going to put – well, look, if they're in the race like they are now, he's certainly going to buy. But I don't think he's going to push his chips all in. Pineda makes some sense because he's not like, you know, Max Scherzer, right?
Right.
He's not. He's a decent pitcher. And that's where I think he would buy, around the edges. Look, their staff is so problematic. They don't need just a number one. They could use a two or a three. It doesn't cost you much to get a number three rental, right? So at the very least, he'll do that. Would it be enough to win in October? I'm not sure. They do have a great bullpen right now. So if they can sort of get a starter and bullpen their way to a World Series, I guess it's possible. It's a long shot. I do think he would buy around the edges. Now, the next 10 games, I don't want to be overly dramatic, but I think it's real interesting. They're half game out now.
Right.
Three road series, three different time zones, Sunday night baseball, overnight flight to Milwaukee, top team, right? Three games against Milwaukee. I mean, worst case, you could be four out or so, and then all of a sudden, okay, if they don't make up any ground in July, he's got that white flag situation to deal with. Now, maybe Milwaukee doesn't do much either because they're sort of up and down as well. But I do think the next 10 days really solidify one way or another. Like if they hang in there and they're just that half game out or in first as they go to July, okay, it's set, they're competing. But you never know. You don't want to be chasing four games out, late July, 14 free agents to be. What do we do? Right? What do we do?
Yeah.
So I do think I don't want to be overly dramatic. The next 10 games, three road series, three different time zones, 500 or better opponents. You know, yep. Reds are 500. I think it's going to tell a lot. And maybe you're getting the Dodgers at the right time. They just got swept. Or maybe you're getting them at the wrong time. They just got swept.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Hey, Jess, real quick before we let you go, yeah. On the subject of sticky stuff, we saw what happened with Scherzer a couple nights ago. That was a wrinkle that I didn't see coming, that the opposition coach can call for that. Are we going to see that consistently, or was that a step gone too far?
I don't know the answer to that. I hope not.
Because I hope not either. That was,
it could devolve into this each manager. It makes no sense to me. First of all, it's always been on the books that a manager can challenge. No one ever did it, right? Now that the umps can check whenever they want, here's Joe Girardi challenging. It makes no sense. Take the manager challenge off the books.
Agreed.
You're already checking Max Scherzer basically every inning. It makes no sense to additionally let the managers do it because that really slowed that game down.
Yeah,
of course, that's what they want to avoid. So I don't know if they'll do it this season, but boy, there's no reason going forward, if umpires are going to check regularly, that managers can ask for it as well. It makes no sense to me.
And we can thank Cowboy Joe West for all of this on May 26th, right? The Sox-Cardinals game?
No, I don't think so. I think it was coming. I think it was coming. He just jumped the gun on it.
Yeah.
I think that's
okay.
It. Yeah, I do. I think it was coming.
Jess, appreciate it as always. We'll
Thanks,
talk to
buddy.
You soon.
Okay, guys, enjoy the games.
Okay.
Talk to you soon.
Thanks. And as Jesse said, I mean, the Cubs have that 10-game series or 10-game road trip, and they play four with the Dodgers starting tonight. It is Zach Davies going for the Cubs against Walker Buehler, who's 7-0 with a 2.38 for the Dodgers. And then after this, they go to Milwaukee for three games. Then they go to Cincinnati for three. And I think a lot of things are going to be determined. If they go above 500 on this trip, if they go 6-4, then maybe Jed does one thing. If they go 2-8, maybe Jed does something else.
2-8 is going to be obvious.
Yeah.
Is 6-4 even enough?
I don't know.
I don't know. We'll see.
As long as they stay close. And then the question is winning your division, is winning your division and making the postseason enough for this team? Or do you want to sell to fall down in the standings? Or do you want to buy to possibly do more than just win a playoff
series?
And if
you do buy, how much are you willing to give away to or give up to get to where you think you can go?
Yeah. 312-332-3776. Let's talk some Sox and Cubs baseball right now. 312-332-3776. Fred and Xander in for Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
So the White Sox get a day off and they can use it, as we talked about.
Yeah, they can.
They just can't. They got a big problem hitting right now. It was nice that they had a nice lead, but I'm watching Ozzie Guillen after the game. It was either after the loss to Pittsburgh or the win yesterday. I think it was after the win. And Ozzie was saying all baseball teams hit slumps all year long. No baseball team's going to go without slumping. Everyone's talking about how hot the Padres are because they just swept three from the Dodgers. A week ago, they'd lost 13 out of 15.
What
or 13 of 17.
Must come down.
You're going to,
right.
I mean, and that's why where Hawk Harrelson used to say it all the time, you're going to win 60, you're going to lose 60, and when it matters what happens in the other 40 games, okay? That's where it determines, if you're going to be a winner or a loser in the course of the baseball season. So despite the fact the White Sox went 1-5, they come home now, and they get Seattle. And then after Seattle, they get to play, if I'm not mistaken, they get Minnesota at home. And it's time to put away the Twins, put them out of their misery for the year. They're having an awful season. They're thinking about moving some guys and trading them at the trade deadline. And
it's nice to see, isn't it,
yeah,
from this vantage
sure.
point?
As Ozzie was saying, if you can get rid of them and get them off your back for the year, that's a perfect thing. And you can do that when you're playing them next week.
Yes.
Or later in the week.
And hopefully our bats will start heating up again. You know, it just is really unfortunate that people seem to be slumping at the same time after we have seen replacement players, stepping in and really performing well.
They step in and help, when they needed them. So your thoughts on Cubs and White Sox baseball. Let's jump to the phones. We go to Evanston and John. You're on ESPN 1000. Hey, John.
Hey, John.
Hey, guys. You know, you're right. And you know, I think the only way the Sox are going to pick it up again is to get their everyday players back out there and have them play three or four days this week, have them get back into the swing of it. I want to see the Sox go out and pick up a second baseman that can play 4 days a week, a guy like Frazier, a guy good in the locker room, a fresh bat, a guy that can make a big play at second. I love Frazier, and if he does what he does for Pittsburgh, can you imagine what he could do for a team that's competitive?
And the fact is, we can use him in right field next year.
Yeah.
Just adds another wrinkle where it's like, okay, so, but John, what would you give up for Frazier?
Well, you know what? I would dip into our AAA system. I think we have a couple of players Pittsburgh could use, you know, that can be the face of that ball club in the future, or maybe one of our relievers that we don't use much. You know, give somebody a chance to maybe pitch more somewhere else that maybe doesn't think he's being used enough here. But whatever, you know, just go, you got to get him.
Right.
I mean, this guy can play, and like you said, right field, second base. He's good in the locker room, and he's a team leader. And they need somebody that can pick up the offense with this ball club, and that dude can do it.
Yeah, and the nice part is, John, and we appreciate the call as always, Madrigal was, when he went out with the injury, he was leading the team with the most hits, and he was playing well.
His defense
was picking
he was
up better.
Well.
Yeah. And that's just such a problem. I mean, you had Mendick there. You've got Leury Garcia playing over there. And, you need a guy that can come in and play that spot. I don't think you can go to the playoffs this year with those two guys as your alternating
second
baseman.
No, they need to be on the bench to come in to, give some relief. But, no, I think Frazier's the one to go after. I know we have Berger.
Four hits last night. It was 4-for-5.
Yeah, he's part of our future, but I don't know. And as Sean said, maybe we don't have to pay as much as we think we do for a Frazier.
Yeah.
We'll see. Again, if we're competing with other teams, that's really going to drive up the price.
Yeah, do you think Jake Berger is a guy that other teams might be looking at?
Well, for me, Gavin Sheets and Jake Berger, that's someone you dangle for bigger trades.
Uh-huh.
And okay. Bigger fish.
Bigger than Adam Frazier.
Yeah, bigger than Adam Frazier.
Okay.
Like a Michael Brantley?
Well,
yeah.
So what I was thinking, too, okay, is right now, and usually around the trade deadline, when you see big-time prospects leave and are on the way out in trades, it's for starting pitching.
Right.
The White Sox do not need starting pitching right now.
Right.
But next season, who knows who's going to be in this rotation. Now, you're probably going to bring up Kopech or Garrett Crochet at some point, and they can fill in seamlessly for if you lose either Lance Lynn or Carlos Rodon. But
Or Dallas Keuchel. I think Keuchel's got a year. It's an option year.
Okay.
Yeah. So
you don't know what your rotation is necessarily going to look like, but there will probably be some fresh faces. What if you need a guy who can be a fifth starter next year at around this time?
Right.
Wouldn't you rather save these prospects for that than maybe overspending to get a guy like Adam Frazier, or as this article from David Schoenfield suggested, to get a guy like Trevor Story, who might be a little bit pricier?
Yeah.
I'd rather save it to try and get a pitcher down the line.
Yeah, I don't want to see Story only just because I saw his home and road splits, and I saw that. It's like, okay, forget it. The Cubs, like years ago, the Cubs liked Jeff Blauser because he hit well at Wrigley Field. They got Jeff Blauser. Then they realized that he hit well at Wrigley Field because he was facing Cubs pitching, and not because he could hit well at Wrigley Field. He was facing Cubs pitching back then, and it wasn't
Did they try to have Cubs pitch to him in these games?
No, they didn't. Let's go to Old Town and George. You're on ESPN 1000. Hey, George.
Hey, George.
I think both teams are going to make the playoffs. I worry about both teams. I think the Cubs, you know, they've got the lockdown bullpen, and I think their starters are maligned. I think they have great starters. Davies has shown he can do it. I like the Cubs to take 2 out of 3 in L.A. As far as the Sox, all they need is one really lockdown bullpen guy to add to Kopech. They need to get the triumvirate going for their setup, man. And they'll be fine when they get Eloy back. They're both gonna piece it together. So I'm not worried about it. I really am not.
But see, they had the bullpen last year. All these guys, Foster and Hoyer and Bummer, they all pitched well last year. And this year they've all hit little bumps. Now, granted, it's still, I don't think they're at the halfway point yet, are they? They're almost at the halfway point. But they haven't done the job this year. And, there's this whole second half of the season. Maybe it'll help. It's nice to have confidence in them, George.
Is Kopech going to be ready? What's the status, Fred? You must know what's going on.
Yeah, actually, I was just reading today about Kopech.
He should be close.
Yeah.
He's throwing a simulated game tomorrow.
That's what he's doing. He's throwing a simulated game. Mm-hmm. So hopefully he gets back and he can come back and because they use him out of the pen. George, appreciate the call.
Yep.
They had some good sound from Garrett Crochet the other day because Garrett Crochet really appreciates being used the way he's being used this year because they know long term he's a guy that's going to be, they're looking mm-hmm. at him as a starter, mm-hmm. a starting pitcher, and maybe he doesn't attack guys a certain way pitching the way he does. And yesterday, two days ago, giving up 4 straight hits in that game when he came in, in relief of Giolito.
Yeah.
And that didn't work out the way they had hoped because Giolito pitched very, very well. The White Sox actually finally took the lead. I was at a restaurant. I was at a golf course restaurant called Reserve 22. And one of the guys we were with, he kept saying, oh, Sox are losing 1-0. Oh, Sox are losing 2-0. Then all of a sudden he goes, oh, they're up 3-2. I said, okay, fine. And then I get in my car and I go, and I hear Len Casper say, 6 runs now for the Pirates. Oh, come on.
It was rough.
Just scored. I go, how'd this happen? Yeah, but they turned around quickly and not exactly the way you would like it. Let's get back to the phones. We go to Highland Park. And Mike, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Mike.
Hey there.
Hi, guys.
What's up?
You know, you're not going to, couple things. You're not going to get Frazier with a scrub, like a 13th pitcher on the staff. That's not going to happen. The demand for him is pretty high. It's not going to happen. You're going to have to give up a lot more. I think before they make any major trades, they should bring Berger up, bring him up as a DH, and put Mercedes back in the minors because Mercedes is basically, he was great, but he's done. There's nothing left in the tank with him. He's absolutely shown no ability to adjust. The league has figured him out, and Berger is hitting, but he's, you know, some people are saying bring Berger up and put him at second. He's not a second baseman. He's a third baseman at best, and he's not even that good a fielder. Bring him up and try him out at DH and put Mercedes in the minors. That's what I would recommend right now.
Yeah.
And see how that goes before the trade deadline. If that doesn't work out, you know, you just need more offense right now. And that, to me, would be the quickest may be the quickest solution if Berger can actually do anything at the major league level.
Yeah, you really do.
And
need
you
more
need
offense.
The guys that
There's
are
no
up
Thanks,
to hit.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
the thing.
You need Abreu to be Abreu.
Maybe this homestand's going to get them back on it because they open up the homestand tomorrow with Seattle, and then they got Minnesota coming in. Let's go northwest side. Tom, you're on the ESPN 1000.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Thanks, boys. Thanks for taking my call. I just was wondering, seeing that Kyle Schwarber is just on a one-year contract or whatever they call that, do you think the Cubs or the White Sox will make a play for him, seeing that he's reasonable, even if they have to go 50% higher, $10 to $15 million a year, and sign him to three or four-year contract?
You mean after the year?
Right. Oh, yeah.
Right. After the year, there's a possibility. I kind of thought he would have worked well for the White Sox as a DH.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because he can hit the ball. But then last year, he didn't hit the ball. And now he's gone to
now
Washington.
Now he's hitting the ball. Yeah. I mean, it's a gamble.
Yeah, he's leading off and hitting 19 homers. That's pretty damn good.
The people love him in Washington.
Yeah, I don't blame him. I mean, he's doing the job. He's hitting, going opposite field. Tom, appreciate the call as always.
See, on the south side, we need somebody with multiple tools.
Yeah.
And Schwarber is a great bat. He's decent in the field, but you know what? We need somebody that can do more of both.
That would be nice. There's another article I read, and it's one of the articles that you might have usually heard in Waddle's World, but I had a whole spin on this because, well, I'll explain why in a minute when we come back. It's Fred and Xander. We're in for Waddle and Sylvie right here on ESPN 1000.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
You are so upset. We've got to wait on your thing here.
I would actually say how I feel right now, but it would lead to the story.
Right. Just, you know what? Delay gratification.
Yeah, well, that's always a good. Let's go to Plainfield and Bear. Bear, what's happening today?
Hey, Bear.
Bear!
Hello?
You're there? What's up?
Hey, I'm not Bear.
Who are you?
Dave.
Okay, Dave.
Oh, okay.
What's happening?
All right.
Not much, guys. Here's my thought. I was thinking that the trade piece this year could be Andrew Vaughn. He's top 25, under 25, but I personally think he's undersized. Once we get our guys back, outfield's full. We got Abreu next year. He's not DH worthy. While it's high, could we get a Frazier for Vaughn straight up?
Oh my God, you're setting people's hair on fire.
Yeah, we appreciate the call, Dave. you probably could.
Well, they would be more than willing to do that.
You would think so, but his position was infield, right? He was an infield
first base.
Guy. He's a first base guy. Now you're going to have Abreu for a couple more years.
Who's our future first baseman?
See, well, Vaughn is a good DH because you didn't have a DH in
why
in Mercedes.
Would he, I don't get how he's not a good DH. The kid can hit.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I think he's a gap hitter. Slowly but surely, he'll hit home runs, and we've seen it. Several of his home runs have gone right center, just because he makes great contact and he can hit the ball.
And
but he slumped in that trip too. He didn't, you know, he was right there with everybody else slumping on the last trip.
He was
3 for 18.
Right. It happens. No, they would be more than willing to do that. I don't think we are.
Yeah.
I'm not.
I wouldn't think so right now.
No. I think Sunday, you talk about that Sunday, he was 0 for 4.
Yeah.
All four balls were like exit velocity over 100.
Were they? Yeah. He's making contact.
It was bad luck.
Yeah.
The kid
yep.
hits the ball hard.
Yes, he does.
He does.
Yeah, and he's made the adjustment to left field better than anybody expected.
I would trust him more than Eloy out there.
Oh, there's right no doubt.
No doubt about that.
I'd much rather have Eloy as the DH and have Vaughn in left, if you could do that. Let's go out to the roads and Leo. Leo, what's going on today?
Hey, Leo.
Hey, guys. I'm not trading Andrew Vaughn. That guy's crazy.
Yeah. You think?
No. Anyways, I'd rather prefer Adam Frazier. Another caller said it before, he can take over right field next year, which is a great more trade value.
Right.
But my proposal will be something like this, more realistically. They're going to ask for Gavin Sheets, some pitching, Lambert, Seaver, and maybe Tim Beckham. That package might get Adam Frazier.
Tim Beckham's been around the league a lot already. Yeah, you could float him there. I don't know that he's going to be a bit. They're not going to request him. He'd be a nice guy to
a toss
get.
In.
Yeah. I mean, he was like the number one pick in the draft when he first came out. And, yeah, I don't
Is
know.
Is that like a toss in a bag of balls?
It could be. It could be. But, yeah, the pitchers, I know Lambert they like. You know, they have some pitchers, guys that they really like, guys they think are going to be the next wave that they need. And you always need pitching. The Sox have been able to draft and develop pitching.
And I get that. But you know what? We can see it. We can taste it. We can smell it. You got to jump in both feet.
I would think so. And I didn't think so originally. But when you look at it, you don't know about Lance Lynn. You don't know about Keuchel. I forgot all about Rodon. Rodon, you know, decided to sign the one-year deal with the White Sox after they, you know, released him. And then they bring him back. Now he's going to have people, you know, begging.
Falling all over him. Maybe he'll say, you know what, I'm going to stay loyal to you guys.
Maybe he will.
Hometown discount?
Yeah, I don't know. That would be nice.
Yeah.
You know, you get a left-hander like that who was number three pick in the draft when the White Sox took him. And now he's shown what he can actually do. So that's a wonderful thing. And so, you know, but you always need pitching. Last year, the White Sox went in with six or seven pitchers, and they had pitching injuries and things happened. This year, you figured with Kopech and Rodon, they didn't make Rodon the number five starter until, you know, it was going to be Ronaldo Lopez.
11th hour.
Yeah, it was going to be Ronaldo Lopez.
We were sitting here talking.
Yep.
Thought he was a slam dunk.
Yeah. It was going to be Lopez. Now, all of a sudden, they go to Rodon, and he's pitching as well as he is. Lance Lynn is more than any of us could have expected.
There's no way
you expected this from
Lance
Lynn.
How did he only get a 1 year, and how hard is it going to be for us to sign him?
To hold on to him. Yeah.
Beyond this year.
He's making money with every outing he goes out there with. And, you know, Giolito has fallen off a little bit this year. He had a nice outing yesterday, pitched okay. Dylan Cease, as long as he can get past the first couple innings, he's usually have that one inning where he'll blow up or things will go wrong. And when he threw that ball away yesterday on the comebacker, it was so frustrating because it's a bunt with nobody out, man on first, Pittsburgh bunts, and the ball goes right back to Cease. And it's in his head.
How many times has that happened to pitchers?
Yeah.
And it's just so counterintuitive. They throw for a living.
Yeah.
But they overthink it.
Yeah.
And they can't hit a target.
Well, yeah. And, well, first he knows the ball's going to second base. And then he bobbles it up in the air. Then he goes, okay, well, I'll get the guy at first. And then he throws wildly to first. Second, third, nobody out. And it's like, oh, come on. Both of those runs scored. It was 2-0 at that point. And, you know, that worked out great for Pittsburgh, but not so much for the White Sox. But Cease actually calmed down and was able to go deep in the game. So that was good.
And he's going to have those. Those are the points of his development. To get through those things because it happens.
Yeah.
You know, at some point he probably would have folded. So, you know, then there's that. He did get past those and he has been getting past those. He just has to get to the point to where he's not running into those at all.
Yeah. So they get the day off today. Hopefully when they come to Guaranteed Rate Field tomorrow, they bring their bats with them because it's 100% capacity.
And you all got to show up.
I'm really eager to see. Sean, find out if there's any way. Sean, if you can find out if there's any way we can check and see what the White Sox are expecting for tomorrow. If there's a way we can find out what the White Sox are expecting attendance-wise for tomorrow. Because they're open 100%. Mm-hmm. Okay, I know that Brooks Boyer may or may not be listening, but I'd love to find out what their sale looks like now, what walk-up might look like, because I know a lot depends on weather. And White Sox fans are probably more hesitant to buy tickets when it might rain than others are.
Let's see what the weather's going to be like.
For tomorrow?
But, this time tomorrow.
Yeah, can you find that?
I'll try to get an hourly here.
Because...
And anything can change.
Yeah, sure.
Obviously.
And plus, you can play through that. You know, I know they've got a giveaway tomorrow's Country Western night.
As it looks right now, maybe 30% chance.
30% chance of rain. You can play through that. It's not a big severe storm coming.
You notice they don't often say a 20% chance of rain. It usually starts talking percentages at 30.
Does
so
it?
Relatively low.
Huh. I didn't know that. I never checked. Tracy Butler's got to let us know, but she may be sleeping already. Oh, no, I think she's up till 6:30 or 7.
Oh.
Yeah, having to get up so early.
Well, that is an early day.
It's a very early day, yeah. 312-332-3776. We're going to get in some NBA talk. We got some other stuff coming up. Also, we've got What's at Stake coming up in just a little bit. We'll talk a little bit about the NBA. Not much because I don't know much about it. So that's always a good thing. They always tell you, only talk about what you know. So we'll get into that. The Cubs do open up their four-game series. We had a caller earlier and said the Cubs can win 2 out of 3. They could, but then they got a fourth game they got to play. Yeah. And unlike some talk show hosts, which you may hear, I don't like making fun of callers. It's a silly thing. Right. You ask them to call you, and then you make fun of them.
Right.
But there's one little guy somewhere that's made lots of money doing it. So, hey, go right ahead. Enjoy yourself.
A little guy.
Yeah. And I'll always call him that for both physically and mentally. Yeah. Cubs and Dodgers.
I wish I knew who you were talking
they
about.
They open up tonight. Zach Davies going against Walker Buehler. Rest of the series for the Cubs, they got Jake Arrieta, and he's going to need to step up. Tony Gonsolin goes for the Dodgers. He's got an ERA of 3. We saw him a lot in the playoffs last year. Alec Mills, who's been throwing well, he's 3-1. His ERA is 5.18, but most of that was early, going against Julio Urias. And then on Sunday night baseball, you get Edmer Alzolay against Clayton Kershaw. And the Cubs handled Kershaw the first time here, too. Didn't they score like a bunch of runs in the first inning off of Kershaw when he was here against the Cubs? Earlier this season. So it's a big series for the Cubs. They open up against the Dodgers, a four-game set. They had the day off yesterday to see how they do. We come back. What's at stake? Are we asking for callers for this? How do we do this?
Yeah, let's get callers 20 and 40.
Okay.
And get on the line now, and we'll pick the tonight's game between the Clippers and the Suns.
So one guy will get one side, one guy will get the other side.
Correct.
We'll do all that when we come back. What's at stake? We're in for Waddle and Sylvie here at ESPN 1000.
This hour brought to you by Chicagoland Acura Dealers. Visit your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Acura dealer today to learn more about the all-new Acura TLX.
Even if you're not spending as much time in the car, don't miss a minute of Waddle and Sylvie at home. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
So what's at stake? Brought to you by GT Prime. We've got the callers already. Callers 20 and 40. And they were assigned a side for the game. And the game is tonight, game 3 of the Western Conference Finals between the Clips and the Suns. The winner receives $50 to GT Prime. GT Prime located at 707 North Wells Street. For more information, visit gtprimerestaurant.com. Chef and partner Giuseppe Tintori, Rob Katz, and also Kevin Bame, they redefine the Chicago Steakhouse and bring you GT Prime. Also, I'd like to congratulate GT Prime's sister restaurant, GT Fish and Oyster, for celebrating 10 years of business. And I know I hear Sylvie talk about GT Prime all the time, Sylvie and Waddle. So, the winner of What's at Stake will be $50.
Sweet.
In his pocket, his or her pocket, to go and check out GT Prime. Fred and Xander in for Waddle and Sylvie. And when I first found out that you and I were doing the show, I was listening to Waddle and Sylvie, and they were talking about something, and I couldn't figure it out. I said, well, if they can talk about that, I got to come up with something to talk about. So I had an idea of what to talk about.
Really?
Yes. It's something I talked about with Waddle and Sylvie about two and a half years ago when I was doing updates for them. And we discussed it, and it became a topic on the air and stuff like that.
It was like the greatest hits?
No, it wasn't that great, but it was fun. It was a fun topic. So I'm looking, and this article actually was on... I want to say it was on computer today. Now, it was written back in November, but the headline of the article says, survey shows growing number of men are sitting down to urinate.
Now, this is this past November.
Yes, this past November. Right. Yeah. This, according to a poll done in Japan by Panasonic, shows now that men are spending more time at home due to work from home and all that, and they have become concerned about stains on and around the toilet.
Yeah, but you're sitting down.
That's why they were concerned. That's why they're sitting down. To break it down, Japanese men want to keep the bathroom cleaner because they're home more often. The survey was conducted in August of 2020 and showed that 70% of men stand up during urination compared to a similar survey conducted 5 years before that showed only 51%. So now nearly 20% more men are sitting down.
Well, and this may not reflect Americans' attitude.
That's what I wanted to ask. And I've got a reason. reason to ask this, and I'll explain it to you. The survey showed that because the men are spending more time at home, they were more aware of the mess made due to splashing.
Because they're getting yelled at.
Which all altered their behavior. Well, see, here's what the whole situation is, okay? When we go to the restroom here, there's two urinals, okay?
And I'm not sitting in one of those.
If you know. But if you're bashful and you don't want to use the urinal when there's someone else using it, which is a whole millennial thing, if you ask me, then you go into the stall.
Wait. This happened just the other day.
Oh, no, we do it because I never know.
You got right to the urinal, and the other one is right next to you, and I'm like, I'm not doing this. I'm going into the stall.
I've done it.
And you've done it too.
I've done it here too because
urinal first.
Because it's a whole trend, it seems like, with the ESPN.
It's a trend.
Yeah, it's a whole trend.
This isn't an ESPN thing. This is modern day bathroom etiquette.
Yeah. I got the urinal first, so you went to the stall.
Was not always like that. That's why they have two urinals, because people would stand next to each other.
Okay,
they wouldn't have a problem
with
it.
So wait, now you're trendy? Is that what you're saying? You're trendy?
Usually there's a divider, too. If there's a divider, okay.
Oh, well, at the metro station, they're real tight, and they have dividers, and it's like, okay, that's fine.
Well, there's sometimes the bathrooms at Guaranteed Rate are too close to each other, the urinals on the wall, and they don't have dividers.
Yeah, but
they don't.
That is a stadium. It's open season. Open season. All
hey,
rules go
hey,
out.
Hey, let's
all
go, let's go talking
the
about the trough.
Okay.
Anything goes.
I love the troughs. I used to always go at Comiskey
Fishing.
Park. I would always go in. The one that said for future White Sox players, all the way through high school, all the way through afterwards, until they tore Comiskey Park down in 90. Always go.
And you're still angry about it.
Yeah. Well, I'm still angry. Yeah. There's a
in
lot
general.
Of things I'm angry. But here's the thing. This came up because we were talking about with Waddle and Sylvie a couple years ago. And when you have a bathroom at home, or two bathrooms, or three bathrooms, and you do stand up to do your business, my biggest question is, when you hit the water, when your urine hits the water, what bounces out? Is it the urine bouncing out, or is water being displaced and bouncing out? Because it always bounces out and splashes.
Well, you know, I am a
because
scientist.
Because you have a toilet.
I am a scientist.
It's a water. You're going into a pool.
I am a scientist.
Okay, let's hear it.
And it's the water.
You've done this already,
it's
haven't
the water.
You? You've done this.
It's the water. This is what I tell my wife.
Okay.
It's the water.
Okay.
So.
Okay, that's why, and everybody knows, I'm bringing up a sad thing, but it's just for a second to bring a point. Everybody knows my wife passed away in October of 2019. Mm-hmm. Okay. And since then, I clean the bathrooms because I'm the only one home.
Have you noticed things you've never noticed before?
Yes. So I sit down anytime I go to the bathroom, almost anytime. But when I don't and I stand up, I immediately clean up around the toilet. And then I say to myself, well, that was stupid. If I just sat down, I wouldn't have to worry about cleaning up. Because sitting down is easy. It's simple.
Is.
My buddies, who I know are driving around in the car right now, would say, you know, it would be a diss. You would get to someone and say, you probably squat to pee.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a diss.
Yeah.
That's a diss.
Well, and my answer is yes, I do, because I like to have the toilet area clean.
All those years when you made mess and
And it was cleaned up by somebody else.
Right.
Yeah.
No, you didn't get called on it. I get called on it.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I had to make an adjustment. I take one more half step toward the toilet because apparently I have been showing up short, let's say.
Uh-huh.
And not
moving
noticed.
Up in the batter's box.
Yeah,
right?
I got a job.
Like
yeah.
If the
pitcher's
the thrown a little bit faster, you move back a step.
I need to step up to the batter's box one half step more. So
uh-huh.
I've been trying to do that because I've noticed the issue. And she noticed first, and now I'm paying attention, but I still don't sit.
Okay.
Unless I have to sit.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? Because
yeah.
It's just quicker.
Yeah. Well, I asked Sean earlier today, and Sean said, well, you know, sometimes you sit because you're not sure if it's just going to be one or the other.
Well, if there's a question mark,
it's just
going to
be
sure.
one or both,
sure.
You know? And so that I understand
that's a
that.
Bad surprise.
But have you changed your ways as you've grown up through life? Because like I said, urinals, no choice. Okay, like right. You said, you're not sitting down.
I am not going to sit in a urinal.
No, but when you go in your home with a regular toilet, I know that when I was at Waddle's house for the Super Bowl party, and I walked in after Sylvie and Mason came out of the bathroom, I was wiping up around it because
That was quite
a mess.
Well,
now they know. Now
I'm not sure
knows.
If it was Sylvie or if it was Mason that made the mess. Right. And it was probably Sylvie. Let's be honest.
Okay.
Mason was probably sitting down, I would think, because he couldn't reach the toilet.
Well, then there's that.
He's a short guy, so he's got, unless Sylvie was holding him and having him aim as he was standing there. So I just want to know if the people that listen to the Waddle and Sylvie show today, Fred and Xander in for Waddle and Sylvie, have you realized that you do make a mess and you started to sit down
more? And you have adjusted your position because of it.
Or have you just adjusted your position and still stood
like
up?
Like a half a step closer
or do you sit down?
In the batter.
Yeah, 312-332-3776 because, you know, it's a mess to clean up. If you do it each and every time, it makes it easier, but... It's still a
mess. Right,
clean
as you go?
Yeah, I do that quite often. I clean as I go if I decide I want to stand up, even though I'm home by myself. And I go, damn, it's all, now I got to clean up, because otherwise I'm going to have to clean up later. 312-332-3776. So basically the question is, do you squat or stand up when you go to the bathroom?
And if you've made adjustments based on your issues.
Yeah, and maybe the woman or other people you live with in your house that have had to clean and told you, hey, listen, either take better aim or sit down. 312-332-3776 here on ESPN 1000.